This will occur between March 1st and 4th. Services affected will include ARCS TV, University of Alaska TV, and 360 North TV. Coach Joe Vicnicki is holding soccer practice for kids in grades 1 to 3, Thursday and Fridays, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. This runs March 2nd through April 14th. No practice during spring break. For more information or to sign up, contact Parks and Rec, 772-3392. Practice dates are the same time for the kids in grades 4 to 6, but the time is 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And stay with us. Borough Business is coming up. That'll happen after Fish Radio, and then Chuck Rose will be here to host Street Beat. I'm Angela Denning. Have a nice afternoon.
Support for KFSK comes from Petersburg Rexall Drug Incorporated, offering a full-time pharmacy. Additional services like refills and local health news are just a click away on PetersburgRexallDrug.com and Facebook. Open Monday through Saturday.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fishermen are missing out on a distress call lifeline, taking the search out of search and rescue after this.
Get a fish tech degree on the go with fully loaded iPad classes from the University of Alaska Southeast. No internet required. Contact Reed Brewer at UAS Sitka.
Digital Selective Calling, or DSC, instantly sends a distress call to the Coast Guard over VHF radios, but many mariners are not hooking up with the newer technology.
Most mariners didn't realize what DSC really meant, that they could actually use a DSC-equipped VHF radio and send a digital signal as opposed to a voice signal. And it was designed to help alleviate some of the clutter on Channel 16, the hailing frequency.
Mike Folkerts is a Coast Guard boating safety specialist based in Juneau. All fixed-mount VHF radios built after 1996 must have DSC capability. A hookup to the Coast Guard in Alaska was acquired just last year.
There was a lot of, I guess you call it, rumor control floating around out there that DSC didn't work in Alaska. In reality, DSC does work and has worked, but the Coast Guard couldn't hear it. And that's what we're in the process of improving at this point.
Operation Distress Connect kicked into high gear after the Coast Guard learned that 90% of VHF radio distress calls don't contain position information and 60% have no identity. There are four easy fixes. The first is to connect your GPS receiver to the VHF. Register the DSC radio and get a mobile maritime safety information ID and enter the MMSI number into your VHF radio,
which is like a personalized telephone number for your VHF radio. And when you push the distress button, all the information on that MMSI assignment form that you fill out and send in is automatically available to the Coast Guard.
Folkerts says overall it's a better emergency system.
Because you can push that distress button, send out a DSC signal, your radio will continue to send out that information. You're not hooked by the microphone umbilical cord. You can actually go about taking care of business, so it's a huge advantage in that regard alone.
Get connected via DSC this week at Comfish, comfishalaska.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Afternoon, you're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. For KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki, and this is Borough Business. It's our call-in show, and we're going to talk about tonight's Borough Assembly meeting. And joining me in the studio today, Mayor Mark Jensen and Borough Assembly Member Bob Lynn. Welcome to you both. Thank you for coming in today. And a reminder to listeners, 772-3808 is our phone number if you'd like to call in with a question or comment or talk about something that is before the borough or interesting to borough residents. And you're welcome to call in at any time. We'll take your call, put you on the air, and hope to answer your question. We asked Mark and Bob to come in today because they were the two of the borough's representatives who went up to Juneau last week to attend the Alaska Municipal League conference and maybe find out a few things. Let's start with Mark. What's the scene like in Juneau? What did you find out? Any good news to report from the Capitol?
Well, you know, we had a talk with the governor a little bit. He had an open house at his the governor's mansion one evening, and he also gave a presentation to the Alaska Municipal League, and he was optimistic that the legislature will get through their session in 90 days. But then when you talk to a few of the legislators, they think there's going to be some roadblock, especially when you start talking about oil tax reform. It was interesting. There was I was kind of encouraged at the Conference of Mayors, the report on the heroin situation. It sounds like they potentially might be making some headway for treatment and stuff with a few other new things they've got online, and hope so. Hopefully that works out. As far as budget stuff, it doesn't look really encouraging. You know, revenue sharing, I think that pot of money is down to $90 million, and so they'll spend a third of that this year, which will be $30 million, leaving $60 million, and then next year they'll spend a third of that because it doesn't look like that's going to be funded at all this year, so it'll be down to $20 million dispersed to the municipalities. So, yeah, that's hopefully they get something through the legislature this year to help balance the budget however they
in
can.
In terms of some kind of new revenue source or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they're going to need some kind of new revenue source. There's a couple different ideas. Stedman's got Senate Bill 21, which would, it looks like, would leave give $1,700 to people for the permanent fund, and the other two that are on the floor, I can't remember what they are, if it's House Bill 115, and then there's another one presented by the governor, I believe. Maybe it's similar to his last year's plan. It's $1,000 or $1,100 PFD, but my feeling is we're going to have to use that reserve we've got, not the reserve, but the earnings from it, to help pay for stuff. I mean, I think we're lucky we have that bank account there to work with.
Bob, what were your impressions from the Juneau visit?
Yeah. Just to end what Mark said, there's absolutely no capital improvement budget this year in the budget, so we can't expect anything. Going from there, there are three or four bills out there. Hopefully we can both all of them tap the permanent fund in some way, and hopefully we can get some kind of a resolution this year. Essentially for us, for our purposes here at the borough, about everything is up in the air. We have revenue sharing through this year and some in the next year, but after that it's all up in the air. School funding was up in the air. Some of the senior citizens exemptions and money that we get as part of those is up in the air. There's nothing that's essentially tied down right now. And so we're going to have to put a budget together here for next fiscal year. And it's really hard to do that when not knowing there's approximately, somewhere around $1 million that's in transition here that we're from the borough's perspective that we're trying to see what we need to do here.
Okay. All right.
We had one comparison Pat Pitney made. It's just like a household. If you compared it, I think was it 80. If you had an $80,000 a year income, just picture that being 16 now. I think was the number.
Yeah.
That's in direct relationship to the state's money. So, figure that out. If you're sitting at home, how you're going to pay for things when you have $16,000 income and the year before it was 80. So it's a pretty good analogy.
The Congressional Budget Office also had a line item there that was showing us that we have sufficient money to run the budget or run the state for 18 months, assuming oil revenues stay where they are. After that, you can't do it. It's broke. And so hopefully, unlike Mark, hopefully this year we can get some kind of a resolution. There's quite a number of bills out there yet that they're going to have to go through and have compromises on.
As far as our one bill, we have Senate Bill 28 that Senator Stedman put in for us to get more land in our borough, and Jonathan Christ Tompkins put in like a companion bill. I think that's House Bill 85. That was going to be heard on the Senate floor last Wednesday, but Lisa Murkowski was in town addressing the joint session of the legislature, so that it should be Wednesday. Senator Stedman was thinking they might, so day after tomorrow, maybe we'll have that move over to the House side, and then it sounds promising, so just keep our fingers crossed.
They are moving other bills that aren't just budget fixes this year, so that's right. Different from last year a little bit. So, but you got the impression, did you hear any opposition to Petersburg's ask for additional land? Did you meet with any legislators who said, we can't give you this 14,000 acres?
Well, we had appointments made not to the day that we got there, and I couldn't attend. I had went to lunch with the Commissioner of Fish and Game, but Bob went, and Steve. So
there were some concerns on the budget side with a couple of the senators that you need to score this, but both Senator Stedman and our representatives say, wait a minute, why are we scoring this when we've never scored? There was never another lands bill that has passed has been scored, and so. Both of them went back to argue that point, and I'd have to say that our representative's done really yeoman work trying to get that out of that going through that other committee where you would have to be scored. And I think they're successful doing that. And I'm like our mayor is that I think we're going to be successful. I thought this was going to be about a three-year process to get it done, and I think it has a good chance of going through this year.
Right. Well, the whole history on that is last year, after the session, we talked with Senator Stebbins' office, and his chief of staff, Randy Ruero, worked all winter with the DNR to try to come up with this bill, and they did, and then JKT, you know, followed it with his bill. But JKT has been instrumental. It's going to didn't go to the Senate Finance. It went to Community and Regional Affairs and then straight to Rules and through Community Regional Affairs on the House side, but it got asked for a referral to Finance. So if it wasn't going to the House Finance side, it probably it'd be a little bit easier. But it sounds like that shouldn't be an issue. So.
And for people who don't know what we're talking about, this is a legislation that would increase the amount that Petersburg gets as a borough, land in the borough that belongs to the state. Basically, have asked for around 1,300 to 1,400 acres at the moment in the initial grant, but the legislation and the request from the borough, it would boost that to 14,666, so about a tenfold increase in what we think we were going to get initially, but and that sounds like the borough has good plans for what that land could go toward, land bank mitigation lands, and also possible future development along the waterfront. So,
yeah, I think it's not being unreasonable. We're just asking for the same percentage in our borough formation as the other 15 boroughs got. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable.
Okay. Well, let's talk about tonight's agenda. A reminder, we'll remind you a lot of times today, but a new location for this meeting. It is back at the old location. The borough assembly chambers have been remodeled along with the rest of the building. It looks pretty nice down there. And as far as we know, things are working. The microphones are on. And so, you will be hearing that broadcast live at 6 o'clock tonight from the new old assembly chambers. But about that meeting, let's talk about a couple of the items on it, and one of them is the third and final reading on the local improvement district. These are some changes that the assembly has been making for how you could be offering street paving or other services. Has this particular ordinance changed a lot for these changes? Are there other? Is this wording changes? What's going on with the third and final reading here, Bob?
At the first session, we made about half a dozen major, what I consider major changes to the ordinance that would allow, most of them what was on the financial side, that would allow a little bit different payback and get rid of some of the penalties that were involved with it. On the second reading, there was no real changes made, so we're on the last reading tonight to see how that goes through. And if it passes tonight, then Carl, Public Works, can then go ahead and proceed with letters to the homeowners in those areas.
And basically, it still leaves it to the assembly to set up the terms and conditions for extending a service, right? So if homeowners come and petition the borough for, say, in this case, paving, there's still a whole lot to be determined about how much it costs and then how that's paid back, how long a time. Excuse me. That all rests with the assembly still, right?
It is, and it depends on how they come back by neighborhood, and you know who's interested, who isn't, that type of thing. And so, yeah, there's a long ways to go yet, and I think, and there's also a lot of discussions with the local landowners as those letters go out.
And the assembly also can, in the end, decide just not to fund the project, as I understand it, too. So
that's correct.
Imagine it would depend on if a neighborhood came forward, which neighborhood it was, and how much work had to be done to prepare it for paving, and that would translate right down to the individual property owner's expense, but the borough at some point would front the money, because you have to have the money to do that for the development, and then you know, figure out what the payback would be by the people in the neighborhood that got the job done.
Yeah, the strongest concern we've heard, I think, is the is the percentage of people in a particular neighborhood that would need to sign on to it to have the work done. And then I think, and that's one I think as we go through this, as you said earlier, that we'll probably look at fairly closely as you come in from each one of the neighborhoods out.
And as drafted, it's still at 66%, I think, so basically a two-thirds yes vote to make it go forward, or...
I believe that's what the number
is. It's 66%. Okay. We looked at changing it and then argued back out of it, you know, to leave it as is, but it still could be changed tonight.
Yeah. So we'll see if it gets through the third reading this evening.
Okay. Also on the agenda is a new ordinance that would basically change voting and election dates and how that all works out. As I read through this, this would basically get rid of special election, or need to have a special election. Is that, am I reading it right? Or?
It doesn't really get you could still have a special election, but what it does is rather than requiring that it either initiative or a referendum be a special election, that it goes forward to a regular election. And that was, and the purpose behind that is the cost. The cost for a special election is anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000, and the purpose behind that is to make it congruent with our regular elections. It's no intent to change what was in there for the initiative or the referendum. That stays. Everything stays the same, and it allows all that to take place. It's just when the voting occurs.
Right, and I believe if there was one brought forward to the assembly could still generate a special election if the assembly voted to do that, I believe. So that option is still there. So,
but it wouldn't, it basically removes the language forcing a special election. I think depending on timing, if someone came to you with an issue in November, you'd basically have to have a special election, I think, 90 days after that.
Yeah,
or 60
90
days
or 180 or whatever
it's
it is.
90
it's,
days,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you have to get a certain percentage of signatures to sign on to the initiative that participated in the previous election, I believe, is the number you have to come up with. So,
and they have to be borough residents and so
on.
Yeah.
Right, so.
Yeah, and I'm supportive of both the initiative and referendum. I think it's a process that we need to keep, and so all this does is kind of clean up some of the wording that, you know, that we had. And this, by the way, will be on, if it goes through, it will be on the ballot then in October.
Oh, okay. You still have to vote on it, too.
Yes.
It's a
charter change.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I see. All right. So that's interesting. It sounds like you support this. Mark, do you support this change?
I think it's a good idea. It's not that we're trying to get it so it can't go to a vote. You know, that's not the case. Just hopefully, you know, maybe not have to have special elections and spend $15,000. But then again, if something's important enough that can't wait till the October election, then I guess we can go forward with it.
Yes.
Basically, there would be one deadline a year. If somebody wanted to get something on a ballot, it would be basically 3 months before the October election. You'd have to get it on before that or wait till next year.
Right.
Something
right.
Like that.
So it's still, not totally taking the opportunity away.
Okay. All right. 772-3808 is our phone number. Of course, you have going to have a discussion tonight about federal projects, and it sounds like with all the talk about not being any state money, there is some federal money that may be available, and who knows about that?
Yeah, potentially. I guess we see what happens. You know, Senator Sullivan was in town over the weekend for a couple of days, and we had the discussion about money and talk about. We'll go back to the state having money, DOT, you know, I think the state gets $300 million a year from the federal government and goes through DOT for projects. We might not see any of them down here. Maybe they're all taking place in the rail belt, but there was some discussion of potentially a way where the ferries could get some funding. And if you would have listened to Senate Finance last Wednesday, Senator McKinnon and Machicki were basically trying to take the $80 million that the ferry system gets now away. Just totally gut the program. So keep that in mind if you like to ride the one ferry we have running right now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's a strong belief that we really don't need that ferry system in the Southeast from some of the interior group.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the federal thing. Yeah, I guess it was Senator Murkowski's office asked for a list, and I'm sure if we come up with a list, it'll go to Representative Young's and Senator Sullivan's offices as well. So hopefully we could, we'll get these priority lists set this evening, and I think they want, her office asked for two or three projects, prioritized, less than $2 million. So we'll see what happens.
Basically, they're looking for shovel-ready projects, two things that have been designed and are ready to go.
Which is kind of where we're behind a little bit. I think they're, and by the end of the year, I think, is what they asked that they're designed.
Actually, they asked for two lists.
Right. There's two separate lists, one a total list and a couple that are shovel-ready. So.
And then we, as part of that, right now at the federal level, there's no earmarks, so that's been taken away. Now there's some discussion back there on the Hill of putting those in to allow senators and representatives to earmark certain projects in their state and so forth. Whether that'll occur, we don't know, but at least we'd like to put a list in to see where, see where it falls out. If something does, there is an opportunity comes available.
Return to the old days of politics when you fought for your earmarks and the leaders had control in the different bodies there because of earmarks. Huh?
Yeah, we still have to come up with the money. We'll see how that works out.
Okay. All right, we do have a caller on the line. A caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm just curious about how the request seeking funding for the Cape Petersburg Road project came to pass. This project is being regarded as one of, quote, significant interest, and it's listed as number two. And I'm curious because my impression was the EIS isn't even finished and there's a great deal of public concern about the project, and yet it seems to be being regarded as one of significant interest. And I'd like to just get a clearer understanding of how that came to pass. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Mark? Handle that one?
I didn't hear it.
I don't hear it either.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so the question was on the Cape to Petersburg Road. How did that request come to pass? And the caller was wondering about its priority. I think it's second on the list that's drafted, but I don't think you guys have prioritized those yet. But and he brought up the concern over the road. The EIS is not finished on it yet, and wondering how that request got to be on this list and came to pass with that.
Well, it's been a project that's been on our list, and these aren't in any type of priority right now. So that's what we're going to discuss this evening. I know there's some assembly members that feel it should be taken off the list entirely. I feel differently than that. Just go back to the conversation a little bit ago about a couple of senators in the rail belt trying to totally gut the funding for our ferry system. Just thinking, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, maybe it will be like they had planned, roads with short ferry runs. So, we'll see what happens.
Bob?
Yeah, as Mark says, there's been, there's just a list of projects there, and there may be some more brought in tonight to put on there, but it's nowhere near prioritized, and I think that has to be vetted by the assembly tonight to see what, to see how we want to put it. I don't think we should throw it out, for sure, because I think that we need to keep it on our list. And it may not happen for 10, 20 years. We don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I agree with Bob on that. So.
Sorry, I think I had your headphones off here, so that's why you didn't hear the question. But hopefully we addressed it to the caller's liking.
Yeah, and they could come and talk about it tonight.
Sure.
So, yeah.
if I can go back a little bit, Mark and I also had a chance to talk with our congressional group about secure rural schools funding and with the PILT funding and, you know, what it means, and then also at the state level about our need to maintain our school funding, because that's obviously part of the state budget. And so we did have a chance to do that. There is still strong concern at the federal level on the secure rural schools funding. Probably get what I heard, and Mark may have heard something different, is that we can probably look at it for at least another year, but after that, it's up in the air. And then I heard there's all kinds of discussions about how that could be meted back into the PILT funding, and there's some other options out there laying out there right now.
Senator Sullivan did say in our travels over the weekend here, the couple days we spent together, he said that he was fairly optimistic that it would pass this year, the secure rural schools. There's been some negotiating back and forth back in D.C., and so that was encouraging. So hopefully that happens. And his take on it is, when he's, from what I got out of his discussion, was if you're not going to, that was a deal that was made to help the, areas that used to have logging, you don't have logging, so there's, paying you for that, and either that or let us do some kind of reasonable logging again in the future. So I don't know where it's going to go in the long term, but maybe for this next year we'll get the secure rural schools funding again.
See, I'm not sure. The caller on line one might still be there. Caller, are you there? Nope. Just lost him. Okay, so hopefully we address their question or they'll come talk to you tonight. Also on tonight's agenda, you have a communication letter about sodium fluoride in the drinking water, an issue that the town's voted on, I think, at least once or twice, maybe. I remember more recently, I think it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think, Petersburg voted on it. But I have to go back and look at the records.
Yeah, the borough clerk was looking into the chain of events that took place, and she found some communication about 1986 or something. So it's been a long time, and trying to remember, it's been so long ago. I thought the local dentist actually supported it even the last time. So we'll see what the information says, and Public Works Director Hagerman has put together, a packet about it, or whatever you want to call it, some information that he'll circulate tonight. So.
Yeah, I think this issue needs to have a lot more discussion community-wide before we do anything. And I can sit here and ask questions for about the next half hour, and I don't have any answers to. So, yes, it needs a lot more discussion.
Yeah,
and it's good we're talking about these things, too, as well now, as well as the election deadlines, because that deadline isn't that far off for people who do want to get questions on the ballot for October. Mm-hmm. So counting back 3 months from October, you're looking at, September, August, and July. So coming up, early summer, people need to be thinking of if they want to get a question on the ballot or an issue decided, that deadline isn't too far off.
Right. I believe to get it on the ballot, it doesn't have to go to three readings or a vote for the. Have to double check, but
it might even be sooner than that. It might be even this spring. So.
That's why I thought the 180-day thing came into play. But.
Okay.
On one of them. But, they need to start, pretty soon, because then you also have to, has to be passed through an attorney and all kinds. And it takes a long time to get through that whole process. So even though that you got 90 days, I'd suggest at least 6 months,
Yeah, earlier the better if you have a concern about an issue.
Okay. All right. Well, are we missing anything important from tonight's agenda? Mark, anything that you have to report from the mayor's standpoint?
Just a couple things in the mayor's report, and I could just, touch on one of them that I thought that was kind of interesting. It came out in the Conference of Mayors, Anchorage, Fairbanks Mayor Berkowitz and Fairbanks City Mayor Carl Castle had this idea. They were trying to get the mayors to sign on to a form of compact of mayors, and they thought that it would be beneficial to have X amount of signatures. The number could be up to 150 or whatever to go lobby for things, and there was a number of mayors, myself included in the room, that were concerned. We already have a conference of mayors. Why do we need this? And who's going to decide what you use the list for, that piece of paper for what? So I told them I wouldn't sign it unless it was vetted by the assembly and had public discussion on it, because I just don't feel right about, making a decision like that on my own. There was other mayors, the mayor of Dutch Harbor felt the same way. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's about, you know, there's a couple other things on the mayor's report, but I already talked about one of them, the revenue sharing, number of dollars, how that's shrinking. And so, yeah, we'll see what the assembly thinks, but I don't think it's something we need myself.
Okay. And Bob, anything else from last week's conference that you attended or other borough issues that you'd like to talk about?
The only one I'd like to talk about is, you know, we have an item that we leave on our agenda called discussion. And I've had now a number of people stop me asking at the last, I believe at the last assembly meeting, you know, the city manager put on a number of items that he asked for our comments on related to changes in the charter. And there are a number of them that we need to look at. And the comments that were coming back to me is, well, why are you guys thinking about these? What are you doing this? And is it going forward? Well, the reason that's called a discussion item is that that's what it is a discussion. There's no action, you know, at that point. There could be. But I totally support, you know, public comments and public discussion amongst that assembly on these various points. Sometimes I walk away with a different view than I walked in there with, or there's points brought up. And I encourage that we continue that, you know, that public discussion. And if people, you know, want to ask questions after, for heaven's sakes, please do. You know, we're all available.
Yeah, after the meeting. But every meeting we have, there's an item on there of views unrelated to items on the agenda for that particular meeting. And that's when it's time for anybody from the public to, you know, say, you know, what they've got on their mind if they have an issue to talk about.
And other ways to let you guys know, emails, I think you have all the emails are on the website, too, people can write those, and as well as old-fashioned mail, too, probably.
That's correct.
Yeah, another thing, Janet Holton is going to resign from the Historic Preservation Commission, so now we're going to have two positions on there, the one from an assembly member and hers. So that's unfortunate, but I understand you can only do so many things and, you know, when you have a busy life.
And the borough's looking for people to serve on that group as well as hospital, I think. Hospital board needs people.
Yes, the hospital board, I believe, still has two positions. So, two vacant seats on the hospital board. So that and historic preservation. So that is about the only two commissions that aren't full.
All right. Well, one more reminder, the Borough Assembly meeting is tonight, and it is in the old location down on the newly remodeled municipal building down on North Nordic Drive in the second floor. It's in the exact same spot in that building, the same room and everything, but it's totally remodeled. So come down, check it out, and speak to your assembly members. Thank you all, and we'll hear that assembly meeting at 6 o'clock tonight.